We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of Organic Search for MediaWiz. How's it going, man?
It's going great as always, man. You always ask me the same question when we start. We got to come up with a new question.
How's it going? It's kind of a regular general question.
I know, but I keep trying to come up with something different than, oh, it's going good, so I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's the question that needs to change.
Fine. I'm sorry, people, we're just strange. But anyway. Yes. So now I'm afraid to ask anything because I'm going to ask the same thing again, I'm sure.
I'm going to ask. Did you get any cool stuff that we can talk about this week?
Did I get any cool stuff? Oh, I've ordered
from like Facebook computer. Or from anywhere?
I ordered a brand new computer.
That's good. We can talk about that. Does it play WoW? No.
Oh, I'm sure this kick its butt. But anyway, that's okay. I won't be playing it.
I've been trying to talk Ross into playing WoW. He just flat just denies that he's never going to play it because it would suck up his entire life, and he's probably right.
Suck it up. Spit me out. There's no doubt about it. But in terms of questions and stuff, no new questions on Facebook. Come on, people. Come on. You've got to have some questions. But I do have one from the Stepforth website, which I thought was it was intriguing. It was a good foreign SEO question on how to balance content across different foreign top-level domains. And here, let's just go to the page here. The question came from, I'm going to try and say this, Nagaraju.
That was really good. And that would have been better than I could do.
Cool. Woohoo. All right. It says here, if we create the domains like www.xyzindia.us, then www.xyzindia.com.au. I can't read all this.
And then a .com version and a .us version. A bunch of different versions of the same site, basically.
Yeah, so the core question here is, if we don't geotarget the main domain to any country, so the .com, will the .us and .au be duplicate content?
Yeah. It's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say that you have to geotarget the .com. You have to geotarget all of them to avoid any kind of duplicate content issue.
Yeah, definitely. Saying. If they're all written in the same language, you definitely need to geo-target them. But the interesting to me is the .us and the .com, especially if you're a U.S. company. Now, his example is XYZ India, so he might not be a U.S. company. In that case, it would be the Indian TLD versus .com, depending on where he's hosted. Because to me, if you're hosted and your primary market and your everything is in the U.S., that's the default for the .com. If your market, so the .us to me would definitely be, even if they were geo-targeted, I think they would be duplicate.
You know what I would probably do is make, and I've seen this done on big corporate sites. I mean, that's not my favorite thing to do, but if you're big, it's one way to go, is have the .com kind of the landing page for the various countries.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. I'm not, but
if you're going to have a .us, you have to do something like that, I guess.
Yeah, I get, if you've got tons of different country codes, it's definitely the right way to go is to have different domains for each of them, without a doubt. So you'd have one per country. I would personally probably save the .com as a U.S. based person and company. I would save the .com and use that to target my U.S. market and redirect the .us 301 redirect it.
Yeah. Well, I personally wouldn't use .us. I would side on a .com. The thing is, I know that a lot of from speaking with clients in other countries that they consider the .com the international one. I mean, I realize it's sort of standard to be considered U.S., but it really is the original domain, right? So
yeah,
original TLD,
definitely.
So people think of it internationally.
And it also depends on what markets you're targeting. So if you're using .com.au and you're targeting people searching in Australia, then you do want .com.au because those domains are going to get preference in the Australian versions of the engines. You know, same thing with .ca, right, Ross?
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So, I mean, it really depends on the market you're targeting too. And if you're if you're buying all these different domains across all these different countries, as long as you're targeting the markets in those countries, you're not going to have any issues at all with duplicate content or any of that kind of stuff. But if you're trying to point all those at the same market, then you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, I love the idea of having the separate TLDs for the different countries. I mean, there are different things. There's different customs, there's different wordings, different spellings. And if you're going to do .co.uk, I mean, for example, if it was a search engine optimization site, you would use optimization with an S inside instead of a Z.
Yeah.
Little things. That's just an example of something tiny. But, I mean, there's bigger ones as well. Pricing, perhaps privacy. Well, definitely privacy, definitely terms and conditions. They all have different legalities. There's a lot of benefits, especially for a large corporation. So, And for everyone who's curious, we are talking SEO 101 here. How you do this essentially is, yes, you can buy those different TLDs. You have to generally be in that location. You have to have someone located in that country to get, let's say, a .co.uk. I know that's the case for a .ca anyway. And now what you would do is Google automatically attributes any content on that page to that country by default. But you can also go to, you can also register it within Google Webmaster Tools and double up by going into there and setting your region targeting to that country. So there's absolutely no question whatsoever that TLD, that site, is only meant for that particular country.
Right. And you can do the same thing if you have a .com and you're not based wherever you're based. That's, I think the default is basically where your servers are, if I'm correct. But let's say you had a .com and you were based in Canada and you had a .ca as well, but you're redirecting that and you wanted the .com to be your primary, you can go in and set that in Webmaster Tools and target it for Canada as well. So it would give it – it's not. I don't think it would perform as well as the .ca, but it's going to definitely perform better than if it was targeted with the default or targeted to a different country.
Yeah, so that's how you would do it. So it's Google Webmaster Tools where you can attribute that. The other part of this question, I think we finished that up, I think, but the other part of the question was really interesting, and that was essentially, will it be sufficient if we use one blog for all the domains to write articles as per SEO, or do we need to create a blog for each domain? My initial thought was each domain, but then again, it's intriguing. I don't think I've run into that issue before.
Well, it depends again on who you're targeting, who's your market. And, you know, and if your market is Australia, you want your blog that's speaking to your Australian audience on your Australian domain.
Yeah. Of course, what I was assuming is it's all the same content on each site. If you're going to have a blog, I would suggest tweaking it or writing content for your audience. So if it's, like you said, if it's Australia, go for Australia. I guess the core answer here for me anyway is, I wouldn't have a single article you post across all the different places because it's not really targeting that audience.
And something to think about too, I think, is that remember what duplicate content is. It's a filter. And it's not just one thing that filters. There's a lot of pieces that go into the duplicate content filter to determine, you know, when something's duplicate, which one has priority, which might be the originating site. There's lots of pieces to this duplicate content filter. And if you have same content on an Australian website and you have the same thing on a Canadian website, same content, both in English, but someone searches for the Australian version in Australia, I don't have any data to back this up, but my gut tells me that they're going to get the Australian version over the Canadian version, even if the Canadian version was it's going to have a boost. The Australian domain is going to have a boost on the Australian engine, even through duplicate content filtering. So if you do happen to have them, you may run into some issues, but depending on how strong your sites are, if one of your sites is a lot stronger than all the rest of them, then you're probably going to have some problems with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's intriguing. Like I said, I haven't run into an issue where that's been the case. If I've ever seen another blog, it's all on separate sites. They have been completely unique, content and everything.
That's definitely the best way to go. I agree, Ross. If you can do it that way, definitely have unique content for each of those blogs.
Now, a tie into this, I'm curious about, and it's been fascinating me a bunch lately. Like, you deal with this way more than I would because, like I say, my clientele are small, medium-sized business, so they don't use these necessarily. But some of them are thinking about it, and that's CDNs, or content delivery networks. Mm. Now, for listeners, that means essentially based on where you're searching, say you've only got one website as your marketing site. If someone was, you would have multiple places. It's got essentially a server in different places around the world, and wherever you're searching, if you wanted to visit the site, it would be delivered from the server closest to you. That's the simplest way to put it anyway. What are your thoughts on CDNs? Have you used a lot of them, John?
I have not, actually. I haven't had the opportunity to do much work with CDNs. I can't give you any firsthand experience on how well they work and what kind of issues you might have with them. But as long as the content itself is, you know, I'm not going to say unique, but if it's relative and it's, you know, based on where it's being served from, if it's going to be a little bit different. I don't know. I have to really say I want to try it before I make too many comments about it.
Well, from what I understand, I mean, I wasn't asking about duplicates or anything like that. I'm certain that the systems are set up, so that's not an issue. But I'm just curious about how they're set up and how effective they've been, that kind of stuff. But like you say, I haven't had any firsthand experience. So I know there's a lot of solutions that are coming out there, especially since Google, they're just jumping on the bandwagon, all these CDNs, since Google jumped and put out that page speed issue. Everyone's like, oh, we've got to worry about page speed now. Not much, obviously, but there is a future where it could be more important. So CDNs seem like a good idea. Never mind the fact that there's data out there that says if you increase the speed or download speed of your site by even a second or two, you increase potential for sales fairly significantly.
Right.
That's intriguing. I mean, I'd love to test with that with some of my clients before even doing some of the other advanced stuff on their sites. It's intriguing.
Yeah, we should do a show about the page speed stuff. I mean, it's not as critical as it's going to be, I think, in the future. I mean, it definitely has an impact right now, but there's so many pieces of it that are hard to understand or just unique that people are like, why does this make a difference? It'd be interesting to do a show on that, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. It's it, I'm not sure how much we could do an entire show on, but it's definitely interesting. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we've got a few things we wanted to bring up just based on news and some other idle thoughts we had.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
If you're looking for a new multifaceted SEO and social media toolset, look for the Raven. Raven has the important tools that every internet marketer needs. Raven offers customized metrics for managing link building campaigns, social media campaigns, with campaign reporting and research tools that you can easily manage. Build up campaign performance for your clients and give your team the tools that will make them soar. If you want to increase your internet marketing revenue, look for the Raven. Go to RavenTools.com. That's RavenTools.com.
$250,000 in cash prizes and all year long revenue share is what you can win when you enter the 2010 Internet Marketing World Cup competition. All competitors are rigorously screened to ensure the best competition and the best possible results. Before you tell others how to make it work for them, prove that your system actually works. Build your reputation in the competition that puts your system to the test and proves you are the best of the best. Sign up at www.internetmarketingworldcup.com. That's www.internetmarketingworldcup.com. Registration ends soon, so put your system to the test today.
Hey, Joel Kalm here, and I want you to hear something. That's my ka-ching button, and it's the universal sound of success. Sounds good, doesn't it? How would you like to hear that ka-ching sound all the time? In my new book, Ka-ching, How to Run an Online Business That Pays and Pays, I lay out a strategy and a plan for you to create your own online success. Get your copy today at kachingbook.com, and I'll give you a ka-ching button for free. All the details are there at kachingbook.com. That's kachingbook.com.
Advance your affiliate marketing efforts every week on Affiliate Buzz. Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Or on demand anytime inside the Affiliate Marketing Channel only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm with John Carcutt, Director of Organic Search for MediaWiz, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. For the break, we were discussing a few questions around CDNs and also foreign domains and how to make those, how to be certain you're not going to have any issues with duplicate content. And I think we answered those questions appropriately. Now, you had a thought to start with here, John. Do you want to take one of the ideas? We've got them coming all over the place, peppered all over our notes.
I know. So one of the big things I've been talking with people about this week, especially on here, is the whole hubbubaloo. Is that the right word? Yeah, hubbubaloo. Hubbubaloo. Yeah, whatever that is. Basically, people are all up in air about exact match domains right now. I know a month or so ago, Google tweaked its algorithm. I think it was a pretty big tweak to really boost brand searches. So the brands are getting a pretty big advantage right now in brand searches. And part of that algorithm had to do with inbound links, of course, and how many inbound links are based on brand. Well, a lot of rollover from that includes the fact that people with exact match domains got boosts from the same thing because of the tie-in between people linking to their domain with their domain name, which is an exact match key phrase. So a lot of sites that have exact match have been doing outstanding in search within the last month or two, maybe a little bit longer. But there's a lot of talk right now about it being way overpowering and that Google may be doing something to adjust it. Some people say it might be in the next 6 months they're going to make adjustment on exact match domains. I personally think it'll be sooner than that, probably 3 to 4 months from now. But if there's people actually building long-term strategies around exact match domains, and I don't think that's a real good idea. It's good because exact match domains are good. No, don't get me wrong there. They are good, but the boost you're seeing now is not going to carry forward for that much longer, I don't think.
Yeah, the recent one I saw was Rand Fishkin putting that out there, saying that there's way too much power for them and how long will it last. And
yeah,
I mean,
you know, I was gonna say he's the one's got a friend that says it's going to be 6 months. I think that's giving it way too much time.
Well, it might be 6 months until they fully roll it out, but they'll be testing it. I would expect. I mean, if they can see that this is too much, unless Google sticks with it, I don't see how they would. But if they feel that there is too much weight on them, then the tweaks will come out slowly. They're pretty careful these days.
Yeah, but I think this is a big enough issue with non-branded exact match domains. They can fix it pretty quick. If anything, they'll let it roll for a while just so they can kind of collect some data on how people are utilizing the I don't want to call it a bug, but whatever you want to call it, the change in the algorithm, how people are leveraging it. They might collect some data around it, but I think they'll try to fix it as soon as they can.
It's definitely a chink in their armor. It's no doubt about it. In a lot of respects, it makes sense too. So they might have to just add a variable to it so that certain freshness of domain, maybe freshness of domain makes a big impact.
Right.
There's
a difference between exact match domains that are brands and exact match domains that are just like long tail key phrases. And they should be able to separate the brands from the key phrases. Do you know what I mean? And once they're able to do that, and it shouldn't take them too long to figure that out, then they can leave the boost in place for actual brand searches and diminish it for non-brand related exact match domains. My guess what they'll do.
But a fast route. I mean, I don't see a problem with it, at least if they wanted to apply something quickly, it would be as simple as saying relatively new domains get even more of a hit, but at least when it comes to exact match.
Mm-hmm. I've actually seen domains that were exact match key phrases that were also the brand name that had a ban on them. They were banned from Google and came back into the search based on this change for brand related. So it's very interesting. It's a very significant change in the way they're looking at searches when it comes to brand related and exact match stuff. So they got some tweaking to do, that's for sure.
Well, when it comes to our listeners, I don't think anyone has anything to fear unless you've completely based all your rankings on that, which wouldn't make much sense. The fact is, if you've got a site that's got these words in it and the content's based on those words, well, you're kind of safe. You might feel a hit in terms of a few rankings if you were extraordinarily influenced by this change, but I see that being able to come back pretty quickly, especially if you have a decent link building strategy.
Right. And I guess the reason I wanted to bring it up is because there's talk about exact match domains being so powerful. And then I didn't want someone to go out and start building this long-term strategy and going and buying up a whole bunch of exact match long tail phrase domains, you know, planning on you know, owning their own yacht in 3 years. But, it's not a long-term strategy. If you want to if you want to leverage it right now, if you want to get in and throw up some content and try to make some money for the next couple months on it, that's one way to handle it, but don't plan on it for long term.
Well, and perhaps this is a bit forward, but the fact is, if anyone's just discovering that this is a big issue, that behind the ball, eight ball, exact match has been around really powerful for many years. I've always found it very powerful anyway. Yes, this isn't tweaked it a little more, but it's always been a good tactic.
Yeah. But again, it's a limited tactic. I mean, if you're going to exact match domain, you know, to me, it's much more, makes much more sense to get a bunch of keywords that you can rank for on your site and not rely on just your domain for one term. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and most people would go for their primary goal, you know, the dreamy ranking in the domain, the one that they know that would take a while to build, and they just want that extra advantage over their competitor. And I still think that's viable. There's no reason not to do that as long as it doesn't – not all full of hyphens and looks like crap.
I don't worry about hyphens. Hyphens are fine with me.
I like people to remember my domains. I don't know. You know, make it easy to them type it in.
True.
Yeah. Well, another one on the same topic is an article that says Google Instant Brand Bias Stokes Ad Cost Fears.
Oh no!
Love this stuff. So it's okay. I'll read a bit of it here. A global SEO firm believes it has discovered a bias towards brands in Google Instant Search suggestions, adding weight to fears that the new feature will drive up advertising costs. Someone down here says, "I love this. This is the poorest piece of quote unquote research I've seen in a very long time." the company, not to be named, found that Google Instant overwhelmingly suggested brand keywords over non-brand keywords, with 21 out of 26 letters of the alphabet delivering a brand term as first suggestion. Okay, well,
first of out of many, there's what, 10 suggestions in there, and there was one brand in those 10?
You know, it's like the example they use here is if you type in J, first thing that shows up is JetBlue. Well, fine. It's probably a heavily searched phrase. What's the problem?
I bet you if you went and looked at all the brands that show up, they're big brands that people are going to be typing in and searching a lot for. Yeah. You know, that makes a lot of sense that they would be in there.
It's going to make brand keywords more expensive, increase impression volumes by 30 to 40%. But you don't pay for impression. You pay for click.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a pay-per-click guy, but from what I remember, impressions do play a role in how much Google's going to charge. But that's not it just seems like it's all out. Oh, it's a bunch of link bait, really.
Yeah, yeah. Your click-through rate is based off your impressions, and your click-through rate is part of your overall quality score. So they're worried that because they're not going to get as many click-throughs on paid because of the instant search is going to take them to these brands right away. Well, guess what? Hopefully, if you got a smart pay-per-click guy, you're already bidding on your own brand anyway. So when your brand shows up, your ad's there too. So actually,
yeah. You've also got that two-second pause where you have to be paused that long for that to count as an impression as well.
Right.
When you're doing Google instant searches. So I don't know. Anyway, it's something worth noting because I thought it was kind of humorous. And there's a lot of hype going around about Google Instant and how it's making things changing things. And there is some changes, no question. But it's, you know, people just wanting some good content to scare people with, I think. we got next year. We got to take a break. Why don't we take a break? And when we get back, we're going to talk about a couple rumors and some fun stuff.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
This is a test of the PRWeb content and news delivery system from PRWeb and PRWebAuthor.com. If this was a real release date, your story would reach more than 30,000 journalists, 250,000 RSS subscribers, and just over 30,000 unique websites. PRWeb can reach your target audience online, drive traffic to your website, achieve high rankings on search engines, and get your content on top news sites like Yahoo News. Editors are available 24/7 to help you optimize your content for maximum exposure to over 70 million people in the U.S. alone. If this were a real PRWeb release date, your website would have so much traffic, you'd be tempted to duck and cover. If you have an online marketing emergency, go to PRWebOffer.com for 25% off. PR Web, the premier online news release and content distribution service.
LPO, Landing Page Optimization, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel, only on webmasterradio.fm. Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, Director of Organic Search for MediaWiz, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. For the break, we were discussing, Google Instant and how the panics are raising everywhere. And anyway, it's a lot of hype. There's some interesting stuff, but it's not, you know, we've already covered
it. I think for 2011, Google Instant is going to take over PageRank updates for the talk of the town. You know what I mean? So every once in a while, someone's going to put out this crazy article about Google Instant, and everybody's going to throw their arms up and scream, oh my God, the world's crashing, and then they'll forget about it next week.
Yeah. SEO's dead. Oh my God.
Yeah.
My favorite.
I still personally have what I'm calling banner blindness on Google Instant. It's like I don't even see it still.
I'm intrigued sometimes. Sometimes I look down, but yeah, you're right. I'm getting faster at it.
Yeah.
So you've heard a rumor. I didn't hear this, but go for it.
Yes, interesting rumor came out, and a lot of people are saying it's just that. It's not going to happen, but and it's probably some hype around a certain movie that came out. But apparently, according to the rumor mill, Apple's in talks by Facebook. And this came from one of Steve Jobs' comments, and he's usually very, very closed mouth about acquisitions. But he mentioned recently that they were considering they have an opportunity to spend a very sizable chunk of their $51 billion in cash that they have sitting around waiting to spend. And then the same time period, he was seen having dinner or lunch with Zuckerberg from Facebook. So that's how the rumor got started. But it made me think, what would happen? How would that impact search? If Apple did buy Facebook, would they have a chance to really compete against Google? I don't think Facebook by itself can right now, but if Jobs and Zuckerberg got together and said, let's kill Google, those two minds might be able to do it. I don't know. What do you think, Ross?
I don't know. I think that, you know, anyone can do anything with a certain amount of time. It's just that, especially brilliant guys like those, but I think they'd be smarter not to try and go at them head to head, but do kind of like what Google's doing to Facebook. Google's not going to try and make a Facebook and drag everyone away. It's just too freaking hard. But they are going to add social to their search and sort of attract people more, you know, and take them from the side. You know, Facebook adding search just makes sense within its systems. That's coming. It's got to be coming.
Right.
What depth they're going to go to, who knows? Like you said before, Facebook already has a lot of the metrics that would make search phenomenal. So I don't know. I think it's pretty weak connection seeing Facebook or Jobs and Zuckerberg together, but you never know.
You never know. And again, it's just a rumor, and most analysts are saying no, this could never happen because of XYZ. But it made me think. It's like, what would happen? You know, and if you think about it, Google is going after Facebook with a lot of things they're doing. They're directly targeting Apple with all the new phones and the Android operating system and that kind of stuff. So it's like they've thrown down the gauntlet. So I can see, you know, maybe it would be fun, actually. I would love to watch it on the news if Apple and Facebook got together and went after Google.
Oh, don't get me wrong. When I saw you mention that, I was like, oh, this would be cool. I mean, anything that shakes up the environment is just plain fun. It makes things interesting.
Yeah. But and the best thing would be picturing Bill Gates sitting on his couch with a bag of popcorn, just watching the CNN talk about it all day long.
Oh, brother.
He would think himself the big winner for sure.
And how would those two personalities can like mesh, Zuckerberg and Jobs?
I don't know.
Wow. I don't know. They're both pretty high-strung, very, at least from what I've seen, and very opinionated. I don't know.
They're both kind of A-type personalities, you think?
Yeah. It would be not exactly a match made in heaven.
And then here's the question. Who would run it?
Oh,
which
jobs.
One of those two? See, that's the thing that I would think would make it not happen, because I don't think they'd be able to agree on how it'd be run.
No. Unless they were completely separate and it was just an alliance.
Yeah.
And that, if anything's going to happen, that's what I would say would happen, but that makes sense. But
like the Facebook Microsoft alliance that happened just recently.
Facebook which?
Facebook and Bing.
Yeah, so why don't we talk about that quickly? It's been a while since I read about it, but essentially, we did talk about it last week, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
Somewhat. But now if you throw that into the Apple buying Facebook, and now Bing's already got this agreement, now we're looking at something that Google will be worried about.
Yeah, that's true. I thought it was interesting, actually, that on the Safari browser, I don't use it much, but I'm using it because it's faster than Firefox right now. It's driving me insane, that bloody browser. Anyway, I went to try and install a extension, and on the front page of Safari was the like premiered was the Bing plugin.
What? Oh, yeah. A Bing? What does the Bing plugin do? That you search?
Yeah, well, I was kind of shocked because aren't Apple and Microsoft always kind of at odds?
Kinda. I mean, but still, plugins are plugins. You know, if they paid the money, they're going to get their plugin.
I guess, but I also assume, lesser evil than Google these days. So
it's such a dynamic environment, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and another thing that's of interest too. I don't know really how well this is going to be received, but Brasco was kind enough to let us know that Matt Cutts had announced that there's a spam report extension that Google's released for Chrome, so you can actively report spam as you surf. Interesting.
So they did it for Chrome, but not Firefox?
Well, it's probably just released for Chrome, or maybe it was already on Firefox before. I'm not exactly sure.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Adds links to search results and web history pages to report spam quickly. Pre-populates the spam report wherever possible. Selects a spam URL from your Chrome history. Select a spam URL. I see, select. So you can do it from your history.
So you have to go back to the page. All right.
Cycle through your recent Google searches to fill fields of the spam report pages. I don't know. It's interesting.
I found an interesting tool today, too, actually. And I don't know. I think I ran across it online, then I went and searched it on my iPhone. But if you go to your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, those of you that don't, just be patient for a second. and you search for robust.txt for new programs, robust.txt. There's only one that came up, and it's from a company called Blasphemous. Basically, it's a application on your iPhone that lets you set the parameters for your robust.txt. Like you can say, okay, I want everything blocked, or you can say you can put in the directories you want blocked. You can pick certain robots that you want blocked, like Google or MSN or those kind of things. And you can actually set frequencies and all kinds of interesting things. And you hit the create, and it'll create your robust.txt on your iPhone and let you email it to anybody, including yourself or a client or something. It's just like, instead of running around saying, okay, I got to do this. I don't know if I can't. I always have to go look up if I need to create a robust.txt. I can create most of it from scratch, but I'm never like absolutely sure. So I always want to verify that it's going to work right. So this would be really cool because I just hit the button, email it to myself, and I'm done. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's geeky for iPhone users. If you don't have an iPhone, I apologize. Developers out there, get on the ball and make one for iPhone.
Yeah, there's actually one online that I discovered the other day during my research. It's called it's by McCannerin, Ian McCannerin, and it's really cool. It actually does. You can select, like you said, just like on the iPhone, except anyone can do this. I created the Bitly for it. It's bit.ly/robots9. Just type that in, and you'll go right to it. It's a little long URL for me to say on the air, but it's great. It's a really handy tool, and it'll output everything. It's also got some of the basic rules and some advanced rules as well on what you should and shouldn't do with it.
Yeah, but can you do it at a stoplight? No. I can do it at a stoplight. Probably breaking the law by doing that, but it can be done. But,
I'm very comfortable. Happening with you now.
Well, see, now if it's up to Google, you won't have to worry about it. So did you hear this one? And this is not a rumor, by the way. Google is in the process of developing a self-driving car. It's been under development for over a year. They've been testing it on the highways of California for like the past 6 months at least, a car that drives itself. And it's unbelievable. They've been doing it for 6 months. They've been to the highway patrol and all that. They let them know what was going on. There's always been someone sitting there in case. They've only had one accident the entire time they've been test driving it. Somebody rear-ended them. And it's apparently Google wants to put it out on market. I don't think they have a time frame yet, but they're seriously developing a self-driving car. And you have to ask why is Google doing this? Why would they want to build a self-driving car? And when you think about it, it's actually smart. First, they have two main reasons. First, of course, is do no evil. They want to reduce the number of deaths of people on American highways by 500, I think it was 500,000 a year. So people don't have to drive themselves. They're going to be safer. The cars are going to be safer. But the real reason, you know, Google always has the ulterior money-making motive, is that for people with long commutes, if they don't have to pay attention to the road, they're going to spend time online while they're going to work. 45-minute commute, you're going to be online if you don't have to drive. Because the cars, of course, I'm sure will come with internet access and all that if it's self-driving. So to me, you think about why would Google do something like this, but it's actually kind of smart.
Yeah, they're just going to have to figure out some way to keep people from getting car sick.
True. It doesn't bother me, so I didn't think of that. But you're right. There's going to be people that can't get online. So what are they going to do, drink?
Oh, brother. You can just hear Matt getting all mad on this one.
Yeah. I was not driving under the influence. The car was driving.
Oh, gosh. All right. On that note, everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. It's been a bit different. We've covered a few areas instead of just tackling one or two. But yeah, it was kind of fun, at least nice and different for us. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, Director of Organic Search for MediaWiz, we'd like to thank you for coming to us today. And my Twitter ID is at Ross Dunn. John's is at
John Carcutt.
Great, and I hope you tune in next week. It's our shows are 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on webmasterradio.fm.
Okay. Hey, and don't forget, we're going to be at AFCON 2010 in Miami down in December, actually December 9th. We're going to be doing SEO 101 Live, so come by and see us if you're around. Thanks for listening, everybody.